Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org/store. Thanks and enjoy the show. Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio. This is Beth McHugh. I'm filling in for both Janice and Steve this morning, who are on their way to our rendezvous in Rogersville, Alabama. And this morning, I'm joined by two of our favorite and most frequent guest hosts, Captains Chris and Elise Caldwell. Captains Chris and Elise are a husband and wife team teaching liveaboard boat handling courses. They both had professional careers in New Orleans and decided to go cruising. They lived aboard a 44-foot boat in the City Marina before starting their cruising lifestyle. Casting off their lines, they have traveled the Gulf Coast, Atlantic, and into the Great Lakes. And today, they're going to talk to us about a side trip from Mobile Bay to New Orleans. Good morning, Chris and Elise, and thanks so much for doing this.
Good morning. We're delighted to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here.
I'm sorry. We want to welcome all of the southbound loopers to saltwater. Been in the Great Lakes all summer, the river system all fall, and after the rendezvous this weekend at Joe Wheeler State Park, you'll be headed south to the Gulf of Mexico, saltwater and tides, sandbars.
I know that many of you who are looping right now, and some of you who are still dreaming about it, are doing this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a bucket list, if you will. And you've maybe been traveling along with the snowbirds, and you've been dealing with the weather and trying to get off the lake before it got too rough and all that sort of thing. But some side trips are always a fun thing to try to fit in. And because a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity often doesn't come around a second time, we just thought this was a side trip that was too good to pass up, to go to one of the oldest cities in America that has so much history, that has so much yummy food, and just too much to pass up. Instead of turning left at Mobile, turn right and go west to New Orleans.
We're both from New Orleans. I've lived in New Orleans for 40 years. And it's a very fond memory of being there. We started cruising full-time, and we just never went back home to New Orleans. But we have the opportunity of going back for a family wedding this past weekend, and I drove the coast from New Orleans back home to where we now live in Vero Beach, Florida. And we just wanted to share some of the ideas of the possibility of our loopers turning right and heading to New Orleans. If you check your ICW charts, you'll note that Mobile Bay is ICW 135, which means it's 135 miles from downtown New Orleans. We're cruisers, so we're not in a hurry, but for some reason, if you find that you're on a schedule, 135 miles can be made in 2 days or maybe 3 days, but there's a lot of stop-offs that you might want to enjoy along the way. You'll travel west through the Intercoastal and the Mississippi Sounds, through Dauphin Island, Horn Island, Petitbois Island. These are all barrier islands to the south or to the open Gulf of Mexico, and you'll be in a natural lagoon that's anywhere between 2 miles wide and as much as 8 miles wide. You can visit places like Biloxi, Mississippi, go into Back Bay in Biloxi, or go on down to Gulfport, Mississippi with a brand new marina, and you can continue on going into the New Orleans area. And one little clue to think about is, you know that you're in bayou country when you no longer see the white sugar sands of Mississippi, but you see the rich dark mud of Louisiana, which, by the way, is where the oysters grow. And New Orleans, of course, is famous for its seafood, oysters, shrimp, crabs, and crawfish.
So before you get to New Orleans, you'll have a lot of little nooks and crannies that you can visit along the way if you've got the time. When you start west from Mobile Bay, and if you pull out your chart book, you can go to the Waterway Guidebook, and they've got an awful lot of information in there. You've also got another flip chart that maybe you all aren't aware of. It's an intercoastal waterway chart book that goes from Miami to Mobile. So at least it'll give you a little bit of information right there in Mobile on the flip chart that you can take east with you. But if you're going to go west, you'll probably want to stick with a chart kit from maybe MapTech or the Waterway Guidebook. And there's an awful lot of places where you can anchor along the way. It's not all about the marinas, although we're happy to report there's an awful lot of marinas that are still in really good shape. Some of them have been rebuilt since both Katrina and then Hurricane Isaac that came up that way very recently. Like Chris said, stopping along the way back from the family wedding, she was able to meet with a lot of different people who shared some really good ideas of things to do if you're going to stop and visit in any of those marinas.
One thing, if you're a gambler or if you just like all of the bling, 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 the fluorescent lights, the flashing lights, the noise, and hopefully the big payoff, you can take a marina in Biloxi or Gulfport or Bay St. Louis past Christiane, Mississippi, and walk to the casino. And depending upon how much money you win, they'll give you a ride back to the boat free. But these are places that you can go try your luck, have dinner inside the casino, and then if you want to visit old Mississippi, then you can go walk around the older downtown parks, see all the antebellum homes, the big oak trees with the Spanish moss hanging from them, and something that's rare in America now, but active fishing fleets, commercial shrimping boats and oyster boats. You'll get to see all of these. And if you're lucky, maybe go to a fish house and purchase seafood straight off the boat.
Oh, there's nothing better than brown shrimp from the Gulf of Mexico.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And those are some ideas for the Mississippi area. And then we know that the loopers have been in Canada, the Great Lakes, and the river system, but white sandy beaches. Florida has wonderful beaches, but so does Mississippi. They're sugar white sand beaches, absolutely gorgeous. And you can go into a marina and then dinghy out to the beach or walk to the beach, or even better than that, you can go to one of the barrier islands like Deer Island, Cat Island, and Ship Island, anchor your boat on the leeward side for the prevailing winds, and then dinghy ashore. All of these islands are national seashore national parks, so there is no civilization on these islands. So they're natural, they're wonderful, they're quiet, especially in the middle of the week.
And they're changing all the time with the different storms. So you could have gone there 15 years ago and show up tomorrow, and they look totally different than they did 15 years ago, which is pretty exciting to see Mother Nature at her finest.
And if you're in a situation where you've got family coming to visit, maybe you could go tie up at the Gulfport City Marina and catch the Ship Island Ferry. If you've got other family coming in, a bunch of you could hop on a Ship Island Ferry and go out to Ship Island. There's a Civil War fort out there and a dock for the commercial boats, not for private boats. And you can visit the island out there at the national park. So there's a lot of sunshine, warm, clear water things to do once you get to the Gulf Coast.
So, after we leave Mississippi, we start heading toward the Wrigley.
When you're heading on the Intercoastal Waterway from...
And let me just say, he says I'm from New Orleans. I grew up a Yankee. And so when I look at a chart, I look at it and it looks to me like Rigolets. But if you want to sound like a local, it's called Wrigley's.
Wrigley's. And in the Waterway Guide, they actually have proper pronunciation after the word is spelled. So they'll help you along with the local language. But heading west towards New Orleans, you'll go west of Gulfport, Mississippi, west of Ship Island, west of Cat Island, and you'll come into the channels where you'll start noticing more mud and swamp instead of white sand. That's when you've changed geography from the Mississippi Gulf Coast to the Louisiana Gulf Coast, and then you'll be heading into the Intracoastal Waterway channels or in through Lake Bourne and Lake St. Catherine towards the city of New Orleans. One anchorage that we always enjoy is Lake St. Catherine and Bayou Thomas. You can anchor at this isolated, remote location and see the Superdome downtown New Orleans. It's really so bizarre that you're surrounded by alligators, egrets, turtles, shrimping boats, weekend fishermen, and there's the city in plain sight. Without binoculars, it's that close.
Well, also because the surrounding area is so flat. That's why you can see the big tall buildings in the distance.
And then after that anchorage in Bayou Thomas, Lake St. Catherine, then you'll head down the Intracoastal Waterway into the Industrial Canal. Now, everybody coming down the Mississippi River, coming through Chicago, you've had your fair share of tugboat traffic, but let me put your mind at ease. Since Hurricane Katrina in 2005, the Industrial Canal has got a lot less industrial marine business. There's another channel that may still be on the charts called Mr. Go, M-R-G-O, Mississippi River Gulf Outlet. That was partially to blame for the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. So the Army Corps of Engineers who built Mr. Go back in the 60s has actually closed Mr. Go, and there's no more commercial marine traffic using Mr. Go. Mr. Go would dead end at the Industrial Canal in New Orleans, and that's no longer being used by commercial traffic. So fear not, you're not going to have a lot of tugboat traffic. The thing I want to mention here is when you arrive in the Industrial Canal, you can turn right towards turn right towards Lake Pontchartrain, and there's a boatyard there called Seabrook Marine if you need your boat hauled and worked on. And next door to Seabrook Marine is a brand new marina called Pontchartrain Landing. When I was in New Orleans last week, I dropped in and got to visit this operation and was very impressed. They've got 3,000 feet of side to dock space on deep water. They also have a swimming pool. They have RV parking lots. So if you've got family that wants to come in an RV, they can come visit you. And most important, they have a shuttle going downtown to the French Quarter. So if you want to visit New Orleans, this may be something to consider at Pontchartrain Landing. Other options in Lake Pontchartrain would be what we call the Airport Marina. It's actually called South Shore Marina at the Lakefront Airport, which is not the airport in New Orleans, but it's the Lakefront Airport. And then you've got three other marinas that are at West End in New Orleans, which is where we used to live.
But why don't we let us take a break for a minute and let Beth go ahead and do her
commercial.
Commercial, there you go.
Oh,
and
okay.
Commercial, Beth, we'd invite any listeners to call in and ask us questions because we feel living there most of our lives, we can answer your questions. And, yes, we'll give you the dates for the important things like Mardi Gras and Super Bowl.
Okay, well, we'll be right back after this commercial.
Donovan's Shady Harbor Marina is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA, conveniently located just south of Albany on the Hudson River with easy approach deep water slips. Stay a day, a week, or a month at this family and pet-friendly facility and enjoy a full-service marina complete with a convenience store, ship store, gift shop, bathhouse, laundry room, swimming pool, restaurant, and more. Enjoy free wireless and cable TV. Both gas and diesel fuel are available. For more information, visit www.shadyharbormarina.com.
Okay, I think we actually have somebody holding with the questions. So let's, since I have nobody helping me answer these phones, I'm just going to put them right on, okay?
Okay, great. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Catherine Rice, and I'm a current looper in progress. I'm on a 42-foot Jefferson called Next to Me, and I have a question for Chris and Elise.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
I'm doing just great. I'm in Huntsville, Alabama, headed to Joe Wheeler for the rendezvous this weekend.
Terrific. So we'll get to see you there. Wonderful.
So are you ready for my question?
Go right ahead. Take it.
Okay, I have two questions. One is, I'm curious about when the Mardi Gras is this year and whether that's a good event to access for boaters. And secondly, one of the big concerns for all of us as we hit the Gulf of Mexico is, of course, our Gulf crossing to Florida and the weather windows that are few and far between by January, which is when we'll be getting there because we're going home for the holidays before that. I'm wondering, what are the weather and travel conditions like along the Gulf headed to New Orleans between Mobile and New Orleans in late January and February?
I can't answer that name of all Gulf Coast locales because you have to watch, we prefer to watch the national weather to see when those fronts coming down out of Canada, coming across the Midwest, and then reaching the Gulf Coast. With the exception of major storms, we see a typical weather pattern of 3 or 4 days of high winds and then 3 or 4 days of relaxed winds.
And remember, Tom Conrad does a phenomenal job each winter season of predicting and very accurately.
Yes. Yes, we absolutely plan to use Tom Conrad's musings for our Gulf crossing. But when we turn, if we turn west to go to New Orleans instead of southeast to go to Tarpon Springs, I'm just curious: are you very far offshore ever, or are you always in the intercoastal waterway, so you're always in protected waters? Do you have to worry about the weather the same way you do if you go to Florida instead of New Orleans?
No, it is not near the length of the distance that you need to travel in any kind of open water. And it's definitely doable in a very short period of time without having a huge weather window. Because your big area that you're open is Mobile Bay. And then, again, you've got a little bit of an open area somewhere off the Mississippi coast. Because although there are some barrier islands, there are some areas that are open water, shallow, and that's where it can get choppy because shallow water.
But it sounds like in any case, even in the open areas, you're much, much closer to shore than you are when you do the Gulf crossing to Florida where you're 40, 50 miles offshore at the longest point.
That's correct. Two things to understand. One, Mississippi Sound is a body of water, and the intercoastal waterway goes through the deepest part of the Mississippi Sound. For
okay.
Deep draft like tugboats. A shallow draft boat like yours, you're about 4 feet shallow, you can run closer to the beach, which is going to give you less fetch and less wave action.
If you have a north wind or any wind with a northern component to it.
The other thing to think about is most of your coves, bays, or marina locations are generally 20 miles apart. So leaving Dauphin Island headed west towards New Orleans, you can go in the neighborhood of Bailabatry, Alabama, or Pascagoula, Mississippi. Next is Bowie, Mississippi, and then Gulfport, Mississippi, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. And then you're in the confines of the intercoastal waterway in the state of Louisiana. It's only 135 miles from Mobile Bay to downtown New Orleans, and there's probably 7 major places that you can go into that are about 20 miles apart. So, yeah, so 7 places times 20 miles, so that makes it 140 miles, and it's only 135 miles to make the trip. So if the weather starts to get stinky on you, you're no more than 20 miles from a safe harbor.
And we're gonna be at the rendezvous as well, and we'll bring our charts for that area. So if anybody wants to talk about it with us as a consideration and option, We'd be glad to show you some of the places, because that used to be our stomping ground. I mean, that would be where we traveled constantly. Anytime we had a week, we would take a trip over to Apalachicola and back. I mean, it was so protected in most instances that it was easy for us to do it. And that was both in the boat we have now, which is a 44-foot trawler, similar to yours, although not as fast, I am jealous of. But the previous boat that we had was a single-engine lobster boat that did about 12 knots, maybe. And we did that kind of a trip in that boat all the time.
Okay, well, it sounds like it would be much easier and less worrisome than, you know, the Gulf travel that we may do in January across to Florida instead, because we're used to watching for weather and storms. You do that everywhere on the loop. But it sounds like as long as we travel on days where there are no big storms in the forecast, it would be easy and fun and no big deal, especially for those of us who have already survived both Lake Michigan, which has wild weather and big water, and Georgian Bay, which has shallow water and rocks. This sounds great.
Right. Well, yes, I agree with that statement. However, I don't want you so fearful about making the Gulf crossing, because that's another one of those things where if you just wait and pick your weather days, you can have the easiest crossing imaginable and think, what was all this about? So it's like that anywhere you go. You could have wonderful, wonderful crossing, or you can have terrible crossings based on your decision to work on a schedule or just work on the weather.
Sort of like New Jersey, everybody's big fear, but if you just wait, you're okay.
Yeah, just be smart, and we're not promoting any particular marina, but I do want to say I was in Point Cadet Marina, Biloxi, Mississippi, which is a city-owned marina, and just conversation came around to it. It's $6 per foot per month with electricity included. To be
wow.
in the Point Cadet or the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor.
Yeah.
So
okay.
If you need to park for a month, that sounds affordable to me.
That sounds
yeah.
great. And Chris and Elise, do you know when Mardi Gras is this year? I think it's usually February, but I don't know.
Well, there's two ways to know. It's not usually February. It's always the day before Ash Wednesday.
Which is a floating calendar all the time. But this, in 2013... It's going to be a February 12th.
February 12th. Okay. That sounds good. That would be about the right time for people who have come back to Mobile right after the holidays to get out on the Gulf.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, a little bit about Mardi Gras. Translation means Fat Tuesday. And loosely, in a New Orleans manner, that means do everything bad and fun that you can, because on Ash Wednesday, you give it up.
So the food is incredible, the parades are beautiful, the camaraderie that, I mean, just like boaters, right? You meet somebody who's a boater and you're a total stranger, and the next thing you know, you've got all kinds of things that you're talking about. It's the same thing when you're waiting for a parade on the side of the road, and you're just waiting for that parade to start rolling, and you start chatting with all the people who are around you. It's kind of a fun environment. If you ever have an opportunity to ride in a parade, that's something that another one of those bucket list items that you could never, never compare to. It's a really terrific thing to do.
So I have one more question, if I may, unless I've already hogged too much time.
Go ahead.
Okay, on the Intracoastal Waterway, when we were headed up from Florida to the Chesapeake, there were half a dozen places where the Intracoastal Waterway was so shallow that you couldn't go through at low tide, and you had to really watch your tides and travel through, like the Ashapoo Cutoff, for example, at high tide, or at least mid-tide. And I'm just wondering, are there places like that in the Intracoastal Waterway between Mobile and New Orleans as well, or is it regularly deep enough that you don't have to worry as much about traveling at high tide or mid-tide?
It's regularly deep enough. Tide is very minimal. 2 feet. A high tide in that area. The other important thing to think about, of course, is geography, where it's not that super shallow. The general water depth is 12 feet. But you will start to see some tugboat traffic between New Orleans and Panama City, Florida. Most of that traffic's between New Orleans and Mobile. So with that traffic, they keep the channels dug out. But my whole time living in New Orleans, we've never had to wait for high tide to cross anything.
Not like Jersey. Not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to get off now, but and I know you'll hate it that I'm saying this, but I just have to put in one plug, and that is the best thing we did in preparation for our loop was have three days of training with you all on our boat right after we bought it. And I feel like we had better navigation skills and boat handling skills and everything else from the very get-go than loopers who don't do that. So thank you again for giving us the training and preparation for a great loop.
You're quite welcome, and thank you so much for those kind words, Catherine. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of days.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. And New Orleans sounds like a great side trip. I hope we'll get to do that. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beth, do we have any other callers?
No, that was it so far.
Okay. If any listeners want to call in right now or come visit us at our booth this weekend in Rogersville at the Great Loop Rendezvous. Some other dates that I want to share with you, if you can write these down or come back and listen to blog radio on the Internet later. But the Sugar Bowl, which is a BCS college football game, the Sugar Bowl is in New Orleans on January 2nd, January 2. And then we have Mardi Gras in New Orleans on February 12th, which is a Tuesday. But understand, Mardi Gras is just not one day. It's 2 weeks and more than 2 weeks leading up to Mardi Gras, which is the grand finale.
It actually starts on January 6th, which is King's Day. That starts the whole season. So between January 6th and February 12th, if you're there for more than 3 days, you'll probably find a parade somewhere.
And speaking of parades, even if you do not make it to New Orleans, Mobile is part of the French influence, as well as Biloxi and Gulfport. Mobile, Biloxi, Gulfport, and Bay St. Louis all have Mardi Gras parades, but they're not as numerous or as grand of a scale as the New Orleans Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. Also, want to mention the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is in New Orleans this year on February 3rd. Sunday, February 3rd, the Super Bowl is in New Orleans. So if you're a football fan, even if you don't get tickets to either the Sugar Bowl or the Super Bowl, the city is wild and crazy, and it's a fun time to be in the Big Easy.
Now, I'm going to go from the other side and say, if you don't want to do the wild and crazy things, there's an awful lot of things that you can do as we did when we lived there, which is see the city not from a tourist standpoint. So, again, without getting into too much, we'd be glad to speak to anybody that's interested, but there's an awful lot of things that you can do just as a local. Walking along the levee in the quarter with a po' boy sandwich or a muffalata. That's our absolute favorite kind of sandwich from Central Grocery Store. And just watch the people. And there's lots of different tours that you can do if you want to play the tourist. But there's also things that you can just discover totally on your own. There's museums that are fabulous. There's a World War II museum that's there. There's an aquarium in the city. There's voodoo museums and such. There's all kinds of really interesting places that you can meander on your own, or you can opt to play tourist because it's kind of fun to play tourist even in your own town sometimes. But the bottom line is the food. You almost can't go anywhere in that town and not have a good meal. But there's a few places that we would recommend if you wanted to talk to us on the side and tell you about what you're in the mood for, where you can go, and where you can just enjoy all the wonderful, rich seafood that comes out of the Gulf. And there's a little rumor that somewhere in the in between Mobile and Mississippi, there's a place that I know others would argue about this, but that Jimmy Buffett wrote his Cheeseburger in Paradise song after. So, you know, that's a little history there.
A lot of history in the South. And let me give you one clue. When you go to New Orleans, you can take a shuttle or take a taxi cab downtown, and you can walk everywhere. When a major political convention was in the city years ago, they dubbed the city a 10-minute city, meaning you could walk anywhere in 10 minutes. And if it's further away than 10 minutes, then you can hop on the streetcar And please, please, please don't call them trolleys. They're not trolleys. They're streetcars. They run on railroad tracks. You might think they're a trolley, but they're not a trolley. They're streetcars. But we hope that we've been able to excite you and encourage you to consider a side trip to New Orleans. There's a lot of events coming up this fall and winter that might be of interest to you. Thanksgiving, Christmas, of course, New Year's, Sugar Bowl, Mardi Gras, Super Bowl. So there's an awful lot going on. And then when it's time for you to come back and continue on the loop, you'll have to backtrack through Mobile, which is fine. And then you can come visit us at the Rendezvous, and we'll be glad to talk with you to go from Mobile down to Apalachicola, because that's also our old stomping grounds. So we'll bring our charts with us. We'll bring our waterway guide with us. We'll be there, and we can answer your questions firsthand.
Okay, well, this has been a wonderful show. I have to say before we go that New Orleans is my favorite city in the world. That's where my husband and I got married, and I absolutely love it, so it was great fun to hear all this.
How wonderful. Where did you get married in New Orleans?
The Dauphin Orleans Hotel.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, we got married in the courtyard, and then we had our honeymoon there, and it was just wonderful. So,
fond memories.
Yes, very fond. So thank you again, and enjoy the Rendezvous. Tell Steve and Janice I said hello. And thank you again for doing this, and I guess that's it till next week.
We'll see you on the water. Thank you. See everybody next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.